validate.
So let's just say a few words about satsang. So satsang is not of the mind. Meaning you can invite your mind to rest, just to take a break. Meaning everything that you know up to now everything that you've understood, everything that troubles you, everything of the past, you can just invite it to just be aside, just set it aside temporarily, just to enjoy being in the stillness, being in the tranquility, being in the peace, being empty, resting, restful. So that there is nothing in the way. So you are present, but you are present openly, completely openly. You're not present as a body, you're not present as a mother, sister, daughter, you're not present as a form. Just present as the peace and the tranquility, as the purity of presence. So you cannot deny your presence. But you can let go of any need to understand it. You don't need to understand being here right now. Just simply being here, allowing your thoughts to settle. There can be a really easy, sweet way of simply being. It requires no effort. It's a relaxation. An allowing. Without holding on to anything. an open-handed way of being. So you can rest in that presence, whichever way that makes you happy. You don't need to be a man or a woman to hear these words. You don't need to be a mother or a father, a brother or a sister, in order to be. Thought might say, yes, I need to be a body in order to hear these words. There might be a belief, meaning there might be a thought or a body of thoughts that says, yes, I need to be a body in order to be. There might also be a feeling, a sensation that says, I need to be embodied, I need to be a body in order to be. This thought, such a thought, and this feeling, this sensation, is perceived. You perceive the thought that says, I need to be a body. I need to be a form in order to be. In the absence of such a thought, this belief is not there, and you simply are. But when the thought arises, or the sensation, the feeling arises, that I must be or I need to be a body in order to be, then there is a feeling of being a physical form. There is an identification and a feeling that I am a body mind. This thought and this sensation is perceived by you. In the absence of perceiving the thought that says, I am this woman or this man, in the absence of the perception, that thought does not exist. So a thought and the perception of the thought co-arise. They arise simultaneously. The thought cannot be without the perceiver, the perception of the thought. When the thought that says, I am a woman or I am this body arises, and the thought is perceived, whenever you say, yes, that is true, you have believed. You are in the belief of the thought. The thought arises and says, you must be a pink elephant. You perceive that thought. And when you say yes to that thought, you are believing the thought. Now you believe that you are a pink elephant. So a thought has no independent reality until you give it your belief. You give it your yesness. You say yes to it. When you say yes to it, you create it. You experience it. So you experience being a pink elephant, or you experience being a body, or you experience being a woman, or you experience being a mother. When you give your belief, you give your yes to the thought that arises. So the thought arises, says, you are a body, and you say, yes, I am. What is this you that says, yes, I am this body? What is the you? Or what is it? Would I even have to call it a me? What is it that says yes? What is it that perceives the thought? What is it that hears these words? There is obviously a hearing of these words. There is obviously a perception of your feet on the ground or of your back against the chair. So go there. Go to the hearing of these words. Go to the hearing of these words. Be that. rather than identifying with something that you are perceiving. Remain with that hears these words. That hears these words is undeniable, yet it is not a form. It perceives forms, perceives perceptions, sensations, perceives thoughts, feelings, emotions. Yet it is not perceived. It is not a form. And yet it is undeniable. It is undeniable that you hear these words right now. Yes? Stay as that, undefined, I refer to that, whatever it is that hears these words, as consciousness. That's the term that I use. Sometimes I use the term awareness or aware presence or beingness. All of these terms refer to that, whatever it is that is real, that is the reality of our experience. Our experience has a reality. It is one reality. Irrespective of what we experience, whether we are experiencing a sunny day or a rainy day, both of these experiences have the one reality, the reality that knows them, the reality that right now knows these words, that right now is. It is not perceivable by the mind. When the mind identifies whatever it is that hears these words as a body, then we are entering into suffering and fear. And the cycle of samsara, the cycle of life and death. As soon as there is a belief that whatever it is that hears these words is a body-mind, you are in mortality. Birth and death. If there is a reality to this experience right now, which obviously there is, and the reality of this moment dies, then we cannot call it reality. Because the reality that dies is not real. How could a reality die? So there is a reality to this experience right here, right now. It's very important for you to understand that. Not just to hear these words, but to understand deeply in your being that there is a reality right here, right now to this experience. And that you, whatever that is, that I refer to as you right now, is this reality. This experience is known via the reality of being. The reality cannot die. It's not born nor dying. So let's say that we argue that no, there is no reality to this experience right now, that it is a dream. Yes? Let's say that we contemplate that the experience that we are having right now has no reality, it's a dream. Then we can ask ourselves the following question. Even to the dream, there is a reality. When you are dreaming, when you are in the night dream, you're dreaming, what's appearing in the dream, maybe a lion is chasing you, that is not real. But there is a reality, another reality, not the reality of the lion chasing you, which is a dream character. There is a reality to the dream itself. Otherwise, there would be no dream. So even when we consider that this is a dream, there is a reality to the dream, not a reality to the dream characters, not a reality to the lion that is chasing the dream character, but there is a reality to the dream. Who is having this dream right now? Is it not I? Whatever I is. Is it not I? When you are in the night dream, and there is a dream of a lion chasing you. Who is having that dream? Is it not you in bed? Is it not you? You wake up and you say, oh, I was dreaming of a lion chasing me. The reality of the dream is you, the dreamer. Similarly, in this wakeful moment, the dream, the awake dream. Even if this is a dream, there is a reality to this dream. That reality is not a dream. What is that reality? What would that reality be without your knowingness, without your presence? If you look directly at your experience, you know you are. I am not saying you know you are the body. You know you are. Before you say, I am a woman, I am a man, I am this body, I am born, before you say, I am dot dot dot, the first thing is I, the first arising is I am, I. Undefined, unknowable I, and yet it is. It would not be if you do not know it. You say, I. That I goes right by you. Goes right by you. You go to, I am a woman. I am this body. It goes right by you too quickly. I am this body, and you get very busy with the body. You miss the I am. And yet it is impossible to be a body. You cannot arrive to the body without I am the body. You cannot arrive to I am a woman without the I am. You cannot arrive to I am a mother without the I am. I, first I, and then amness. I is sat, sat, presence, beingness. Am is awareness. I am. Sat chit, I am. The realization of I am is the awakening from the dream. So you are in the sleeping dream. You're dreaming there is a lion chasing you, yes? And in the dream, there is the question that arises. What is perceiving this? What is perceiving this? Is it a lion chasing me? What is perceiving this? In this question, the I am is coming to the front. What is perceiving this? What is perceiving this? Is a movement away from just this. This is the lion chasing me. But what is perceiving this? Is the I am question, is the self-inquiry. Before you say, I am a woman, I am this person running away from the lion, what is perceiving this? And you stay with that. You stay with what is perceiving this. You stay with what is perceiving this. What is perceiving this is the coming to the canvas, coming to the screen of consciousness. That is untainted, it's unformulated, it's unmade, it's not made. It's the pure transparency of being. So in the exploration of your true nature, meaning in the exploration of what is real, what is reality, what is true, not simply a mental exercise to amuse ourselves on Sunday, but a contemplation to wake up and to live the wakefulness of being, to live the reality of consciousness. It's in our contemplation. We decompose, we release the identification. First, we notice the identification. The identification is, I am this body, I am this body mind. And then we release that. We release that meaning we give it to God. We give it to the space. We give it to the cosmic, to the universe. We give it. We surrender it. Meaning we allow it to be in the hands that run it. Whatever puts together this cosmic dance, we surrender the cosmic dance to whatever puts it together. We release the I have to, or I am this. No, we give it to the cosmic intelligence. We tell the cosmic intelligence, I recognize your dance, I recognize your play, and I recognize your freedom to play whichever way pleases you, whichever way pleases you, because I am the vastness of being that invites your play. Without me, how could you play a Mandy or a Trish or a Frederick? Or how could you play this play without me? I invite you to play the play whichever way it pleases you, because I know that you are playing for my amusement. You are playing for my joy and for my amusement, and I say yes to that. Because I am not what is being played. I am not what's appearing on the screen. I am the lord of the castle. The castle is not the body. The castle is just a metaphor. It's a castle without walls. So I am that, and it's all okay. Dream on, dream on. Worlds, bodies, events, children, whatever it plays, weather, world events, dream on. The screen is total yesness. whatever is projected, whatever images arise on the screen. I am not that. I am freedom. I am the peace and the freedom. Not the peace and the freedom that depends on anything. Not the peace and the freedom that depends on health or wealth. Not the peace and freedom that depends on any material mentation on the mind. How could freedom depend on anything? It wouldn't be freedom. And what is freedom? What would freedom be if I am not it? It would be just a concept. Freedom gets its meaning from I. I am freedom. I am beauty, peace, joy, and happiness. But whenever you say yes to I am this or that, you are in the pinch. That accompanies you throughout your waking state. It accompanies you in your dream. As soon as you say, yes, I am this mortal body-mind, on a time clock, bound by time and space. You're not playing the fun game. You're not saying yes to happiness. There's no way. There's no salvation in that direction. Let it go. Whenever you notice an angst, look carefully and you will see an I am this person thought there. Whenever there is I am this person, there is a pinch. Pay attention, become sensitive to that pinch, because it is that pinch that reminds you of your assumption, of your belief, of your identification. It reminds you to release it. Release it. So you release it by saying, no, I am not this person, because I am perceiving this thought that I am this person. I am the perceiver of this thought. I am perceiving the sensation or the feeling that I am this woman. So therefore, I am not this woman. I am the perceiver. The perceiver is formless while the woman has a form. Yes? But the perceiver is formless. Whatever hears these words right now is formless, has no beginning and no end. It's not located anywhere. So that's how you release the thought or the feeling that I am this person, this body. And then you release the feeling, the me feeling. You release the me feeling by making all the walls of that feeling porous. They are porous already. So when I'm saying making them porous, it's really not correct. It's noticing that there are no actual bricks that are building this feeling. It's made out of porosity. It is porous, meaning it's like breath. It's infinite. So you release that feeling, that sensation in your body, in your belly, in your chest, wherever it is, in your neck. You release it to the space. It's already porous. It's ready to flow. It's ready to dissolve. And you say yes to it. You say yes to it. It's the solution. You say, okay, you're free. I give you your freedom. You, the sensation in the body that says, I come to you and I give you your complete freedom. Your complete freedom. Dance on. Go right through the walls. Go right through the earth. Go right through the space. Borderless. Because the true substance of all experiences is consciousness. The substance of form, the substance of the dream is consciousness. It's like in a dream. You're dreaming all sorts of dreams. They're thoughts. It might seem like you're climbing a mountain, or it might seem that you're in a taxi cab in Paris. It might seem that you are, you know, riding a camel in the desert. Whatever it is that you are dreaming, it seems real. But it's actually made out of thought. And thought is thinner than a cloud. It's the substance of thought. It's the substance of consciousness. Then no, it's like steam, like steam, like a cloud. Has no actual physicality. Physicality is just a mentation. Yeah. Physicality is the belief that I am a form, that I am an object. And from that belief, that I am an object, the world is created. The world of objects is created. So you start with I am object one, and then object two, and three, and so on. The objects arise from the first object. The first object is I am this body mind. And from that object, the other objects arise. But if you go to any object, if you go to the couch right now, the couch is a perception, if you're looking at it, and a sensation, because you sort of sense it. Yeah? So the couch is what we refer to as the couch, is actually made out of your sensation, you know, your back, your legs, your arms on the couch, whatever you're saying, yeah? You're sensing. And whatever you perceive, you're perceiving the couch. What is a sensation and a perception made of? Is it made out of wood? Is it made out of, is a perception made out of fabric? Is a sensation made out of cotton? Or leather, or the sensation and perception is made out of consciousness, awareness, whatever you want to call it. It's not made out of bricks, you know. So, in fact, what we refer to as an object, like a couch, if you pay attention, you will find that it's actually consciousness. It's perception, sensation, thought, which is made out of consciousness. And then you try to divide, try to separate the perception from the sensation. Take right now your perception of the couch and your sensation of the couch. Can you separate them? Can you say, for example, like around here on the left is the sensation and on the right is the perception? Can you say that? You cannot. Can you say towards that, in that direction is the perception and in this direction is the sensation? No, you cannot. It doesn't make sense to say that because there is really no separation. We're using these terms. We're using these terms in order to clarify the teaching, in order to do the contemplation, the exploration, in order to come to the revelation. The revelation is that there are no separation. There's no separation. The separation is imagination. There's no separation. So even the objective world is really not an objective world. But the impression of an objective world starts with the belief that I am some kind of object made out of, I think it's called flesh and bones and things like that, hair, whatever, you know, things like that. And as soon as there is that belief system, and then we sense, you know, over the years as we're growing up, this, the me sense, me as a body, mind, is established, then the world of objects is also established as a seeming reality. That's the experience of suffering and separation that we know is a hoax. We sort of believe it because we've been indoctrinated in it, but we don't believe it because deep down we know that we are not a body-mind. We know that the body-mind is a suffering story and that our true nature is happiness and peace and happiness. We know that. In our heart of hearts, we know that. We know that the happiness is what we love. That we always is in no effort to go towards the happiness. No effort. Somebody says, oh, it's, you know, it's this really beautiful park, you know, here, you know, come, let's go. Yeah, a beautiful park. Or, go for a beautiful meal somewhere. Yeah, you know, there is no effort because happiness is our true nature. There is effort about, oh, we need to go to work and make money in order not to have a good whatever, big house. That's, oh God, you know what is it they say, the Monday through Friday, the Monday blues and the Friday, whatever. Thank God it's Friday and, oh my God, it's Monday, you know? That's awful. It's awful. What an awful way of living. It's taking the most precious, most exquisite gift that God has given us and we trash it. We turn it into a Monday to Friday agony. But it's okay. Because only going to last 60 years, then I'm going to retire. What a hoax, right? We say no to that. No, don't live like that. Don't. You're cheating yourself. Only tricking yourself, nobody else. You buy into this hoax, you live it. You live it.
I was saying it's the story.
The story, yes. Right. It's the me story. Me as a person, me as a mortal body mind, me as this specific person. Yeah, you see? Not me as consciousness, as awareness, as as that formless divine being. It's beyond these words. I mean, just, you know, it's our nature is beyond the words. It's beyond the mind. It is radiant joy and bliss and happiness and purity and freedom. It's not born. We witness form. We perceive a tree. We're not the tree. We perceive bodies. We're not the body. We perceive this body. We're not the body. We perceive what we perceive. We're not. We are that that is not a form, that is not a thing. Beyond what the mind says we are. We perceive the mind. We perceive thought. If thought says you are this and that and that and that, you don't need to believe it. You can perceive that. Say, oh, cool, what else? That's nice. Very entertaining. Thank you very much. Next. You don't buy whatever is being sold in the market. What for? It's a burden. There's nothing you need. You are freedom itself. The body needs, no worry. Consciousness takes care of the entire galactic order. If you don't trust that, you just trust the mind, you're in trouble. Because the mind is shifty. It goes after this relationship. Oh, that didn't work. That relationship that didn't work. And this, and always seeking out. Seeking, seeking, where is my happiness? The mind is a seeking tool, seeking and avoiding. There is no happiness in seeking and avoiding. It's a constant go-go, constant maneuvering. Maybe I've talked enough now. So we can... There are questions or